So welcome to the month of October. It seems as if the time is going so quickly. It was as if I said Happy New Year yesterday. And here we are in the month of October. All right, so this morning we're starting a new series, just starting it off today. But next Sunday or throughout next weekend, who knows what's happening? That's a rhetorical question, by the way. We're going to have Apostle and Reverend Omer here, so it's going to be like a different ball game. So we're looking forward to that. But I just want us to kick off the series this morning as a form of reflection. And when I say as a form of reflection, we're now in the month of October, and the year is now running down. So I think it's a good time for us to just reflect and look at our lives in the context of God. And the series, I've called the series that we're looking at, What Really Matters in This Life? What really matters in this life? I was telling someone that when you're 18 years old, you have a different focus. You think the world is just unending. You have all these dreams, you have all these things you want to do. But as you get older, there are times that you begin to pause and you ask yourself the question, I've done all these things, I've worked so hard, I've done this and I've done that. What really matters? What really, really matters in the whole agenda of things? What really matters? So that's the question that we're going to be looking at this morning. And don't worry, I'm not going to make you sad. I think there are times that I start talking about these messages and at the end of the day, everybody's looking so sad. It's like, Pastor Benson, tell us something that will make us so sad. Don't worry. This one is just a point of reflection for us. And I think I've mentioned this a few times. Every month, we go to this retirement home just around the corner. We do like a hymn service there. Lovely, lovely people. The average age of the people there is like a retirement home for senior citizens. Average age, 90, 92. Yeah, 90, 92. And we've been going there for years now. Actually, before we started this church here, every month we'll go, we'll have a hymn service with them, maybe for like 20, 30 minutes. Then we'll spend like an hour drinking tea and biscuits and just having a chat with everybody. And every time I go there, it just really gets me thinking. It gets me thinking because you come across people who tell you stories. Some of the stories that I hear or I've heard over the years are blended. Some people be like, this was what I wanted to do when I was much younger and I was able to do it and I'm satisfied. Some of the stories I hear are people who are like, man, I'm 92, there's someone who's 95 there, and I wish I had done things a bit differently. Obviously, I just told them, look, you're where you are, just enjoy yourself at this moment. But what I'm just saying is that you and I do not want to get to the age of 90 or 95. And if you want to get to 100, God bless you, we'll be cheering on for you. We don't want to get there and then begin to take stock there. No, we want to take stock now, gradually as we live our lives. So that's the background thinking behind this. So there are two scriptures that I'm going to be focusing on. Then I'll read the story of a man in the Bible who, in his life, he pursued a certain path. But he realized that, look, that path that I pursued, even though it was something that was profitable to me, that wasn't the end. So the two scriptures I want us to focus on this morning in the background as we reflect is the first one is John chapter 17, verse 3. John chapter 17, verse 3. And in that portion of scripture, I imagine that a few people came to Jesus and they were asking him all sorts of questions. They're asking him, what's life about? What does God want from me? How can we experience God? And they were asking him all sorts of questions. And he made the statement, which I think is very pertinent. He said here, Jesus said, after they asked all these questions, he says, now, This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. So one would expect that eternal life would start when we get to heaven. But Jesus said no. He says eternal life starts now. And part of eternity is you and I focusing on knowing Jesus. Focusing on knowing Jesus. The other scripture I want us to reflect on is Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. So Paul the apostle had, this was a man that the Holy Spirit used to write like over a third of the New Testament. This was a man that went through a lot of things for Christ. He was, at one point, he was dragged out of a city that he had been preaching in. He was bitten and left for dead. And you know what he did? He woke up. I think some people surrounded him. They prayed. He woke up, dusted himself, and went back into that city. This was a man that had been shipwrecked. This was a man that had suffered a lot for Christ. This was a man that knew Jesus in a way that not a lot of people knew. And you would have thought that the main thing in the life of this man would have been, look, let me just, I've done a lot, and he'll begin to count all the things that he had achieved, which is good. But when he weighed up everything, there was something that he mentioned here. And he said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, he says, what is more? He says, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things, and I consider garbage that I might gain Christ. So we see a recurring theme here. Am I saying that we should just fold our arms and not do anything in this life and just say, well, all I want to know is read Jesus, read my Bible, and I'm not going to work, I'm not going to have any aspirations? You know, no, that's not what I am saying. This man worked hard in all ramifications, and I believe God wants us to work hard. He says, whatever our hands find to do, we should do with all our hearts and soul. So God isn't saying we should be laid back. No, he's saying whatever it is you want to achieve in this world, in whatever ramifications it is, go for it. If you have kids, look after your kids, enjoy your kids. Take them to, what's the name of that place you guys go to? Do all those things, be excited about that. Don't just tell your kids, oh, sorry, just we're not doing anything. The only thing we're going to do is just read the Bible. No, no, no. Yes, read the Bible, but so this scripture isn't saying that, and the previous one we read isn't saying that. But it is saying to us that in all our getting, in all our doing, in all the things that we do, with all our aspirations, we should always remember that the most important thing ever is knowing Christ. The most important thing ever is knowing Christ. And that's what Paul says in this portion of scripture. So it seems simple. So it might be like, Pastor Benson, what are you saying? Are you saying, what are you really saying? This seems too simple. Actually, it is. It is that simple. It is that simple. I'll read the story of a man in the Bible, Zacchaeus, if you turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 19 and verses 1 to 10. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. I'll read, it's a long read, then I'll just make a few points from this and we'll pray. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to your house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. So we're looking at the story and the life of this man, Zacchaeus, very typical of the modern day person. I'll just make a few points this morning. Like I said, it's kind of like a short message for us to just reflect. So the Bible says this man was the chief tax collector and he was wealthy in Luke chapter 19, verse 2. And we see something in the life of this man, which was that he was pursuing his career and he got to the point where he was the chief tax collector. I mean, in those days, tax collectors didn't have a good reputation. But nonetheless, this man must have really striven to get to, he must have strove to get to where he was. Popular culture tells us the same thing nowadays. It's like, I want to achieve this, I want to be the best in my profession, which is great. I want to be wealthy. I don't want to, you know, live from hand to mouth. I want to do this. And there's nothing wrong with that. I was talking to a young person. Well, I speak to young people all the time. But I was just saying to this person, okay, you're like, how old? Like 20, is it 21? And I said, the person doesn't reside in this country, they reside in another country. And I was just trying to get a feel for what the young people in his generation focused on. I said, okay, in your country and all that, what's the resounding thread and thought in the thoughts of young people in your age bracket? And he said, look, gone are your days, Pastor B, when people wanted to take it easy, maybe go to school, become like a lawyer or a doctor. He said, everybody wants to be a TikTok influencer because they want money now. Because just do some skates here and there and TikTok will pay you. And he was now saying that they pay them so much. And he said, right now, nobody's interested, well, in his context, is interested in anything that's going to be far-fetched. It's money now. Do you get what I mean? So what am I saying here? Everyone wants to succeed, and there's nothing wrong with that. So we see the life of this man as well, where he had gone through a lot, and the Bible tells us he had become the chief tax collector, top in his profession, probably not well-liked, because in those days, tax collectors had a bad reputation. But nonetheless, he focused so much on the things that he wanted to achieve. So that's the first point we see in this man. But there's something that I see in the life of this man. And if you look at that same Luke chapter 19, verse 3, it says he wanted to see Jesus. So the second thing we see is this. As we go through life, there is in every human being this nudge for the truth. There is this nudge in you and I, and in most people, if not everyone, that asks the question, what is truth? What is life really about? What is life really about? Whether they're born again or not. The Holy Spirit does this work in us. The Bible says in John chapter 16, verse 8, that the Holy Spirit does a work in every human being where he nudges us towards the truth, because every man has that question, every woman in their heart. What is the truth? Is it all going to end here? When I die, is this where it ends? Is there something more? But a lot of people just shut it out because they can't answer that question. So we see something in the life of this man where he says he wanted to see Jesus. There was something in him that was looking out for the truth. And there was something in him that recognized that this truth, maybe it is in Jesus. Let me see. So everyone has that in them. Some people will just shut down that voice. But that voice nudges us all the time. So that's the second point I see in the life of this man. The third point is this, Luke chapter 19, verse 5, still in that portion of scripture. It says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up at him and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay in your house today. So the third point I'm making this morning, I'm making about 5 points, is this. Jesus saw the desire in his heart and stopped. Jesus, as busy as he was, he was swamped with loads of people around him, but he saw the desire in the heart of this man who nobody would have ever thought he would have anything to do with. So what am I saying to us this morning? Every time you have that desire that comes in you that is like, look, I want to do more, in quote. I want to know more about Jesus. I want my life to take a certain path. I want my life to count for something. Oh, I want to know what Jesus says about this. I want to give Jesus more time in my life. I want to focus more. Do you know what? Jesus sees that. So why am I saying this? I'm saying this because I've come across a lot of people who just will think, well, me, I'm not the pastor. I don't even go to church every Sunday. What could possibly interest Jesus? What in my life could be of interest to Jesus? Jesus doesn't even know I exist. If he does know that I exist, I'm just one of those people that he doesn't have time for. Or the flip side is we will do our best to get noticed by Jesus. Do all that we can, because we're not quite sure if Jesus sees all that we do. But we see in the life of this man that as long as you have that desire in you and you pay attention to it, Jesus sees that. And Jesus saw that in the life of this man. The fourth thing, then we go to Luke chapter 19, verse 7, the fourth point here. When Jesus went to meet this man and was dining in his house, it says, people began to mutter. He has gone to the guests to be the guest of a sinner. Number four. I'm making 5 points this morning. And we begin to see something else here about the perception that Jesus has about everyone in your surrounding. Yesterday, a thought came to me, and I was reflecting yesterday. And, one thing that God put in my heart was this. He said, look, as a church, it's great that we come here on Sundays, we come here on Fridays, we come here, and we do all we do. Fantastic. But that's not enough. That's not enough. Jesus wants you and I to go, let me not say to go out there. He wants us to realize that there are people around you, there are people who live around you, there are people who are your friends, who have a nudge, who are seeking truth, and they don't know where that truth is. You and I know that truth is in Jesus. And what Jesus wants you and I to do is just to be present and to let them know that, look, this Jesus that you're thinking about doesn't want to smack you on the head. This Jesus that we're talking about here is interested in you. Do you understand? And some of the people are like, what is he doing there? Why should he be talking to that person? So we see that there are times that you are the Jesus to somebody else. Jesus isn't here physically, but he's in you. So this man ignores all that. There's something that is yearning in his heart. And that is, look, there's truth somewhere here. And he found this truth in Jesus. And Jesus, he realized that, what? You mean Jesus is interested in me? Once he realized that, his life just turned around. And the final point is this. In Luke chapter, in the same Luke chapter 19, after Jesus noticed him and Jesus went to dine in his house, people were saying all sorts of things. It didn't really matter to Zacchaeus. He got up and he said, it says in Luke chapter 19, verse 8 to 9, it says, "But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 'Lord, look, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. If I have cheated anyone out of anything, I pay it back.' Verse 9, Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham.'" So the fifth and final point that I'm making this morning is this. You and I have to come to the point all the time where we reflect and we look at our lives, we look at the things that we're pursuing, which are legitimate, but we move beyond that and reframe our perspective, reframe our aspirations to say, okay, look, in the context of all these things that I'm doing, where does Jesus stand here? Is Jesus in any of this? Do I have time for Jesus at all? Asking ourselves that question honestly. And you know, Jesus isn't asking you and I to do anything extraordinary, so to speak. He's just asking us to realign our desires and our heart towards him. To align our desires and our hearts towards him. And it brings me back to the original, to the two scriptures that I looked at. John chapter 17, verse 3, that says, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus whom you have sent." And Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, that we looked at the beginning, that says, "I consider everything a loss that I may know Jesus." I'm paraphrasing. So what am I saying this morning? I'm just saying this morning, there's so many things that I can talk about. And there's so many things that we will speak about as the weeks go by. But the foundation of everything that we do, I'm reminding us, the foundation of everything that we are is Jesus. And as Jesus is the foundation of everything that we are and everything that we do, we need to give him time. We need to redirect our hearts to really long for Jesus the same way Paul did. That we spend time with him to know him. Do you understand? So that's what I am bringing to us this morning. We're going into an exciting quarter. I'm so excited about the things that God is doing and that God is going to do in this last quarter of the year. But what I'm just saying is that, look, let us, in the midst of all the things that we're doing, let's pay attention to Jesus this quarter. Intentionally. Amen. I'm just going to ask that we rise this morning and we pray. And the prayer this morning is quite simple. It's just to bring before our Lord Jesus Christ everything that is like really uppermost in our heart, that often just, you know, distracts us. These things might be legitimate. You might be like, look, I'm going to spend time with God, but before you know it, the time is gone. So this morning, why don't you bring these things before God and say, God, these are the things that I mean, I've just been so busy. Help me to focus on you. Help me to begin to experience the eternal life, knowing you now, as you said in John chapter 17, verse 3. That's the very simple prayer that we pray this morning. Let's just pray this morning. Our Father and our King, immortal, invincible God, only wise, who are we that you're mindful of us? There are billions and billions of people in this world, but still you're interested in us as individuals. Father, this morning we are asking that you search our hearts. We are asking that everything that just, you know, crowds our lives that doesn't allow us to really spend that time with you, Father, we ask that you help us with those things. Rekindle in our hearts and in our lives a desire for you above everything. Father, we pray, let's just lift up our voices and just talk to him this morning. Father, we lift up our hearts before you this morning in the simplicity of your word. Father, we pray this in the name of Jesus, that you lift up our hearts, that you help us lift our hearts to you. Father, we honor you and we thank you. Father, I commit everyone that is here into your hands and even those that are not here. But I'm asking, oh God, that you reach into our lives and our hearts and help us to focus on you, that we will be able to come to the place as well, like Paul, where we say nothing else matters in this world more than you. Father, we thank you.